Thank you to those who serve in FSK. Thank you for being a picture of Jesus' love to my boys.
Because you have served, we've had so many amazing encounters with God. It has built the foundation of our faith that we can stand firm on today.
Thank you for serving and being sweet and helping us learn about Jesus Christ.
Well, good morning. Oh, man, come on. Good morning. Some of you need some coffee. Yes. Well, if you are new to us, my name is Mark, and I'm one of the teaching pastors at Fellowship. And if we hadn't had a chance to meet yet, I look forward to the opportunity to be able to do so today, maybe back at the Connection Center. Encourage you, maybe if this is your first time, drop by there. We'd love to get to know you, help you get a little bit more connected here at Fellowship. Let me tell you a little bit about kind of where we've been on our teaching, a little bit about where we're going, where we are right now is we're in a little bit of a kind of a two-part series about the importance of serving. And Cody got us started last week in really talking about why it's important that we serve. I'm going to try to build on that here in a few minutes, just about how we serve. And the Apostle Paul's got a lot that he wants to say to us about that in Romans chapter 12. And then next week, we're really excited. We're going to be starting a new series on the Sermon on the Mount. And if you're not familiar with that, that's probably the most popular, the most famous, if you will, sermon that Jesus ever gave in the book of Matthew. It's Matthew 5 through 7. And that'll take us through most of the fall as we'll be kind of learning and studying that together. Now, for those of you that are married or have been married before, you know when you first get married, there's a lot of unique and new experiences you go through together, right? And one of those is really how you're going to care for the other spouse when they get sick. And there's kind of expectations that we bring into our marriage or into our relationship about how the other person's going to kind of take care of us when we get sick. And some of what shapes that, if we're really honest, is kind of how we grew up. And we kind of bring our background, kind of our family experience into that. And so for me, with my family growing up, like if I came in and I told my dad, "Hey, Dad, I think I've severed my thumb off." My dad's response would be, "You know what? I think that's just a flesh wound. Why don't you kind of bandage that thing up? It'll probably grow back in time." My mom, if I said, "Hey, Mom, you know what? I'm running 102 fever. I think I may have strep throat. I don't think I need to go to school." My mom's reaction would be, "You know what? I think it's okay. I think you can go to school. They can call me if your fever spikes." Okay? That's the kind of home that I grew up in. Kind of the home, you know what, if you got a cut or a bruise, just rub some dirt on it, it'll be okay, right? Now, my wife, Jenny, she grew up in an entirely different home, and that made for a really unique experience the very first time that she got sick. And this is, by the way, before cell phones, and so she's sick, and she's got flu-like symptoms, and she's kind of in the bedroom, and I'm in the living room probably watching football or something like that because I'm that kind of sensitive, loving husband that I am. And she's back there, and I hear this noise. It kind of sounds like this. Okay? So I turn the TV down. I don't hear anything. So I turn the football game back on, and I hear this noise again. Finally, I decide, you know what, I think I'm going to get up. I go back in the bedroom. When I get in the bedroom, my wife's pretty frustrated. And she's got this bell, and she's ringing this bell, and she says, "Listen, when I ring this bell, you're supposed to come and help me." When I was growing up, when I would ring this bell, my mom would come and help me. And I looked at her in that moment, and I said, "Well, I'm not your mom." Very wrong answer. Let me tell you something, friends. That wasn't a good moment in our marriage. The next thing I had to do was duck because that bell was flying through the air. No, I'm just kidding. She didn't do that. She probably should have because I can be awfully selfish at times. But here I was in this moment early in our marriage where I had this one role, this one responsibility to really love my wife by serving her when she was sick. And what did I do? I blew it. Just messed it all up. And what I love is today this passage we're going to be looking at really talks about that one role, that one responsibility that we have as followers of Jesus. What that is. You know, when you look in the Bible talks about the church. It talks about us like a spiritual family. Other places it talks about the church like it's the body of Christ. And when you think about a family and you think about a body, every part, every person has a role or a responsibility for that body or for that family to function, right? And we see that real early in the New Testament when the early church is just taking shape and form. We see that God gives these unique gifts to people. And not only does God give these gifts, but he actually uses these gifts in his people to build his church. And that's why you see him raise up apostles like Peter, who gives the very first sermon that actually launches the church in the book of Acts. That's why you see disciples like Aquila and Priscilla, who God raises up to disciple new converts, the most notable being the Apostle Paul himself. That's why you see Barnabas. God raises up encouragers like Barnabas. He raises up servants like Stephen. He raises up missionaries like John Mark. And you see this throughout the Bible that God uses all of these people who are serving and using the gifts and the passions that he's given them to actually build up his church through their service. They're just taking on their role and their responsibility. And what's incredible is that God has called us to the same. That we have a unique role, a unique responsibility to serve each other in the church. And so here's what I want to invite you to do. If you've got a Bible with you, why don't you turn with me or start making your way to Romans 12. If you don't, let me encourage you to take out your phone. There's a Bible app out there called YouVersion, Y-O-U version. Download that on your phone. It's got a lot of different Bible reading plans and Bibles, but follow along here. We're going to be in Romans chapter 12. Here, the Apostle Paul writes these words really as an encouragement to us about the one role that we've been given to really serve others in the church. Look what he says to us. Picking it up in verse 3 of chapter 12. He says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." Now, in this passage, the Apostle Paul pulls back the curtain, if you will, on this Christian phenomenon known as spiritual gifts. Now, if you've grown up, maybe, or spent some time in the church world, maybe that's a term or a phrase that you're familiar with, when this whole idea of spiritual gifts. But maybe if you're kind of new to this whole thing, maybe that's a term or an idea that you're not real familiar with. So let me give you kind of a definition of what a spiritual gift is. This isn't my definition, but this is Wayne Grudem, a theologian's definition about a spiritual gift. And here it is. Let me put it up here on the screen for you. And it's just simply this. A spiritual gift is any ability that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and used in any ministry of the church. And we see some of those spiritual gifts in verses 7 and 8, don't we? Paul kind of lists those out. And if you look in other places in the Scripture, one of the things you'll see is there's other lists in the Bible that offer up other spiritual gifts as well, gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us to be able to empower us to serve others. And we're told in the Bible that every Christ follower has at least one spiritual gift that he or she is to use in serving others in the church, in the spiritual family, in the body of Christ, because everyone has a role, a responsibility. Now, sometimes what happens is I think sometimes we get so focused and so enamored on the spiritual gifts, trying to kind of figure out what is my spiritual gift, that sometimes we actually forget why we've been given a spiritual gift in the first place. That's why I love this passage. Because before the Apostle Paul talks about what all the spiritual gifts are, he talks about why they're important, why they're significant, why they help us serve each other and love each other through this idea of serving. And so what Paul does here is he's going to kind of give us three things that we need to remember as we think about this whole idea of serving each other. Three things that I think are really important for us. Here's the first. The first is this: serving is an exercise in grace. Notice how Paul starts this whole thing in verse 3. He says, "For by the grace," there's that word, "given to me, I say to every one among you." Now, Paul has spent the first 11 chapters of this book talking about the gospel, what the gospel is, who the gospel is about, why we can't live without the gospel. But here at chapter 12, Paul is going to take a right turn, a pretty sharp, hard right turn, and instead of helping us now kind of learn theology, which is what he did in the first 11 chapters, now he wants to turn his attention to helping us live theology, to help us live out the gospel. And here is what the whole gospel hinges on. It hinges on grace. Grace. That's what really sits at the heart of the gospel. It was the grace of God that caused God to look down on a world full of people who turned their back on him because of sin. And out of grace, God sent his son to make a way back for his people. It was the grace of Jesus that caused him to leave heaven, to come to earth, to live a perfect life and to die a brutal death so that we could be reconciled to God. And what Paul is saying here is it's that same grace that now empowers and enables and equips us to love each other by serving each other. And notice that Paul uses this grace as really the underpinning to a very important statement that he makes here in verse 3. A statement that he makes about this critical attitude that we really have if we're going to love each other by serving each other. Notice what he says here. He says that we should not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. See, what was happening in the church in Rome is that you had Gentiles and Jews together, worshiping together, and it seems, or at least it's apparent from what Paul's talking about here, is at some point in time, some of the Jews began to feel that they were more superior than the Gentiles. And maybe on the flip side, some of the Gentiles started to feel like, hey, you know what? We're more superior than the Jews. And all of a sudden, there's this kind of conflict and division that's in the church in Rome. And because I'm superior to you, I don't have to serve you. And so there was this attitude that had really kind of developed in the church, and it was this attitude of I'm better than you. And listen, friends, we could have this attitude too if we're not careful. We're trained by the default mode of our hearts to immediately and unconsciously size up others to see how we're more significant than they are. None of us in this room are naturally humble. None of us naturally think to ourselves, everyone else is better than me. None of us do that. No, we've learned how to spot the weaknesses of others to justify being above them in the pecking order of service. Now listen, we don't ever say that to the other person, but we have this conversation that goes on continually, all the time in our hearts and our minds, where we're sizing up others, we're looking at their weaknesses, and we're saying to ourselves, you know what? I'm better than they are. See, so I'm at Chick-fil-A, and I see a dad who speaks to his son real harshly. And in that moment, I think to myself, you know what? I don't talk to my kids that way. But I have talked to my kids that way. And in that moment, when I'm watching this young dad do that in the Chick-fil-A, I think to myself, you know what? I'm a better dad than he is. So I go have coffee with a friend of mine who shares a real serious sin struggle in his life with me. And as he's sharing that struggle, I think to myself, you know what? This isn't really a sin that I struggle with. But I struggle with 1,000 other sins in my life. But in that moment, immediately and consciously, I think to myself, you know what? I'm a better Christ follower than this guy. We do this kind of stuff all the time, don't we? We're kind of consciously, we just kind of have this conversation where we're always kind of comparing ourselves to the weaknesses and the shortcomings of others around us. And really, in essence, what we're saying is, I'm superior to you, I'm better than you, I'm more important than you, I'm more significant than you, and I shouldn't have to serve you. In fact, because I'm better than you, you should serve me. And that's exactly what's going on here in the church in Rome. These people are starting to think more highly of themselves than they should. And if I could paraphrase what the Apostle Paul is saying here, he's saying, listen, why do you walk with swagger? Because thinking that you're better than others, because everything that you have in your life is by the grace of God. And you bring glory to God when you humble yourself and you love others by serving them. See, friends, when we really understand and we really get the grace of God and what God has really done in sending Jesus for your sin and my sin, when we fully grasp that and it grabs hold of our heart and our life, it changes the way you see people. It changes the way you treat people. It changes the way you serve people. Because all of a sudden, you really fully understand that all that you are, all that you have, is by the grace of God. See, this whole book that we call the Bible, the gospel, the good news of Jesus, everything is built on His grace. Why? Why do we serve each other? How do we serve each other? We serve because of the grace that's been shown to us. And so now we serve each other, and we do that with a humble attitude, realizing, you know what? You're actually better than me. I'm going to humble myself, and I'm going to serve you in the same way that God has served me through Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's getting after here. Here's the second thing I want to point out to you. Second thing Paul talks about here is that we don't all have the same role in serving, but we have a role. All of us have a role. Look what he goes on to say here. He says, for as in one body, here's that example of a body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. So again, Paul here is comparing the church to a body, and like a body, every part has a part to play. And the point is that we're not all gifted in the same things, but we're all gifted in something. Would you agree? That's what he's talking about. Not everyone's going to lead up front. Some roles may be behind the scenes, but that doesn't make them any less important. Our roles in serving may not be the same. What God has wired me to do, he may not have wired you to do, but that's okay. Because all of us have a role when it comes to serving in the church. And your role is just as important as my role. Because the church needs all of us, every single one of us, using our gifts, our passions, using those together. And that's what makes us healthy and strong, just like a human body, if you think about it, needs every single part operating for it to be healthy and strong. Now, I was reminded of this a couple of weeks ago when this incredible thing happened down in Panama City, Florida. Maybe you heard about this or read about it or saw it. Any of you remember about 2 to 3 weeks ago the kind of tropical depression that blew through Arkansas? You remember that? Dumped quite a bit of water on us, most of it on the east side of our state, but man, some of those folks got 4 to 6 inches from this storm that hit us a couple of weeks ago. Well, that storm really created havoc down on the Gulf, in particular down in Panama City, because it created all these riptides. You've probably heard of those before. And some people were out swimming in the midst of the storm because, man, there's cool waves that come and everything that happens, they're out there swimming. They got caught in these riptides. And they were drowning. They couldn't make it. And all of a sudden, there was some quick thinking that happened on the beach. And maybe you saw this and read about this, but these people came together and they actually formed a human chain out into the water. And what they did is one person after another locked arms like this. And this went 40, 50, 60 people out into the water. And by locking arms together, they were able to go out into the water and actually fight this riptide current and actually save these people that were drowning in Panama City. Incredible story. Here's a couple of pictures just to show you what I'm talking about. Look at all those people. Each one of those people, you could see them, they're kind of locking hands or locking arms. Now, as you look at that, let me ask you this question. Which one of those people in that human chain has the most important role or responsibility? Is it the person on the end who's actually kind of rescuing and grabbing the person who's drowning? Is it the person or the people in the middle? Is it the person that maybe is out on the sand in the land? Tell me, who has the most important role or responsibility in that human chain? Every single person. Everyone. Everyone is important. If any one person drops their hands or doesn't lock their arms, you can't withstand the pull of the riptide. Here's what I want you to see. What the Apostle Paul is saying to you and to me is the same is true in the church. That every single one of us has a role and a responsibility to play. And that God has given every one of us who follow after Jesus a unique set of gifts and passions and abilities that he wants to use. And listen to me, friends, we can only be healthy and strong and vibrant as a church if every single one of us are locking arms in this human chain out here in Saline County. Because let me tell you why. There's a lot of people in this community that are drowning. They need help. And the only way they're going to be able to get that help, they ultimately need Jesus. The only way we're going to be able to get to them is arm to arm. Arm to arm. Each one of us just doing our part. It may be a small part. It may be a big part. But here's the thing. It's an equal part. All of us serving alongside each other. And as we do that, the beautiful thing is that's where the power is. That's where the power is. That's what Paul's talking about here. That all of us have a role, a responsibility in this human chain called the church. And here's the last thing that I want to point out to you that he talks about here. And that last point is this, is when we refuse to serve others, we end up robbing others. Maybe you never even thought about that. We end up robbing others. Look what Paul says here. Verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the, there's that word again, grace given to us. Listen to this phrase. Let us use them. Circle that in your Bible. Let us use them. Remember the first 11 chapters? Let me help you learn all this theology. The rest of the chapters, let's start to live that theology. Use these gifts and these passions and these abilities that I've given you. That's what he's saying here. See, as Cody said last week, all of us who follow Jesus, we've been called to serve. It's part of your spiritual DNA. It's part of my spiritual DNA. You go to the story of Jesus in John 13. Some of you have heard the story. Jesus washes the feet of his disciples. Oftentimes what we miss in that story is Jesus actually says to them, I did this as an example for you. Now I want you to go and serve others in the same way that I've served you. See, what happens is if we refuse to serve the body, it doesn't just affect you. It doesn't just affect me. You're actually robbing the other people of the gifts that God has given you. You ever thought about that? That's why Paul says here, you have gifts and passion. Use them in serving others in the church. Because when you do, it not only grows you, it actually grows other people. Now, I think there can be a tendency at times when you hear a message about serving to do a couple of different things. I think there's a couple of different ways sometimes that we can kind of talk ourselves out of serving. I think one of those ways is we can kind of check out and we kind of say to ourselves, you know what, I don't have anything really to offer to the church. You know, I don't have any experience. I don't really kind of know the Bible. I don't really think there's any way that God could really use someone like me in his church. And some of you may be even thinking that this morning. And here's what I will remind you, really challenge you about, is just to remind you of this, that Jesus didn't build his church. Jesus didn't start his ministry with professionals. He started with amateurs. People that had no religious training or experience whatsoever. A fisherman, a tax collectors. I don't think Jesus did that by accident. I think Jesus did that back then, and I think Jesus does that today because it's not about the person. It's about the power of God working in and through that person as they serve. And I think sometimes what we do is we kind of play these games with ourselves and we kind of talk ourselves out of certain things when all the while God wants to do something in us and through us. I think on the other end of the spectrum, there's some of us when we hear an idea and kind of a message about serving, we kind of think to ourselves, well, Mark, you know what? You just don't realize kind of how busy my life is, how stressful things are at work, all the activities that my kids are in and things that we're doing. And man, I just don't have much margin in my life. I can't serve. I can't give myself the way Jesus is asking me to give myself. You know, sometimes when it comes to this idea of service, we put parameters around our life. If you will, it's like we put this box around our life and we think to ourselves, there's no way we would ever consider that God would ever ask us to step outside that box. Here's what I'm asking you to consider this morning, to step outside of that box. How do you do that? Well, there's lots of ways that you can serve here at Fellowship. You can be a part of helping us in the parking lot. You can greet people. You can serve in the cafe. You can work in the preschool. You can work alongside our junior high and high school kids and serve in there. And so much more. There's lots of opportunities for you to be involved. Let me encourage you today, after the service, drop by the table in the back of the room. It has all those pretty balloons on it. Drop by, let one of our staff, one of our volunteers there, give you information about how you can get connected here and begin to be a part of the one role, the one responsibility that you have here at Fellowship. That's just as important as any other role or responsibility. We have lots of opportunities for you to serve. Lots of opportunities every Sunday for you to come and to be able to and not think about yourself more highly than you should. Because you're loving others by serving them. Which, by the way, is what every single person that has served you today has done. The people out in the parking lot in this humidity, all they've said to you today is, you're better than me. And I'm going to serve you. Hey, listen, friends, they didn't have to do that. They could have parked their car, walked in here, and sat in a service. The people that greeted you didn't have to do that. The people loving and serving and teaching your kids right now so that you can experience this service, what they're saying to you is, in essence, they're saying, you're better than me. And just like Jesus, I want to serve you. Just because I've been touched and overwhelmed by the grace of God, I want to share that same grace with you by serving you while you're in the service. And listen, we have lots of opportunities if you're not already on the serving team here, there is lots of room at the table for you. Listen, we're all learning together. We're all growing together here. And here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make much of Jesus together here. Not just here in Saline County, but all around the world. And the way that happens is each and every one of us has to grab hold of the one role, the one responsibility that God has called us to, that God has equipped us to, that God has given us the grace to do. And when we don't step into that role, we're actually robbing the people around us. And as a church and as a spiritual family, we can't be strong unless each and every one of us are locking arms and just doing our part. It's then and only then we're going to be able to take the gospel, the grace of Jesus into this community, to people that are all around us who are drowning and in desperate need of Him. And you can play a small part, a big part in that, but more than anything, you have an equal part in that no matter where you are because you're on the team and God's called you to that. Let's pray together. King Jesus, thank you for the incredible opportunity we have to serve you, to be a part of loving others by serving them here at Fellowship. And God, you have served us so well. You say in Mark 10 that you didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give your life as a ransom for many. To give us an example that where this life starts is it starts by being overwhelmed by the grace that you've shown us through your Son Jesus, a grace that enables us and empowers us and equips us to serve others, that you've called each and every one of us to a role on this serving team. And that God, when we step away from that and we're not a part of that, we actually rob others the joy and the growth of using the gifts and the passions that you've given us to put those on display in this place that you've chosen to call Fellowship Benton. So God, would you form your own human chain here, a chain that is strong and vibrant, a chain that is committed to making a difference for you, for the glory of your name right here in this church. And would you give us the courage to step forward and just do our part in that human chain for the glory of your name and for our good. In Jesus' name we pray.